Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. It's Troy Dooley, and I tell you what, it has been a rockin' week, and it just keeps getting better. You know, when you live life under the preconceived belief, not the notion, not the idea, but a deep-rooted belief that every day builds upon itself, all of a sudden, life, the outlook on life can change. Doesn't mean the circumstances change. Doesn't mean you don't go through what some people might call hell on earth. What it means is that you understand you control the outcome. You control the way you're going to feel, the way you're going to anticipate, the way you're going to walk through it. And I think that's the key. We're in Marcus Buckingham's book, Now Discover Your Strengths, the revolutionary program that shows you how to develop your unique talents and strengths. I love this. Marcus is a senior VP of Gallup. They did 2 million different interviews to be able to write this book, and it's phenomenal. Today we're in Chapter 3, The Traces of Talents. How can you identify your own talent? I mean, think about this for a second. It doesn't matter where you're at, who you are, what you go through. We all have talents of some type or another. The hard thing is figuring out what those talents are. You know, I live in one of the most prestigious places on earth. It's a beautiful island. It's a beautiful city. It's the second most visited destination in Florida, and yet there's only a population of 7,000 people. Part of that population is a homeless population that lives right here in our city, right here on this island. They are an off-the-grid type people. They're a one percenter type of organization in my book, because they surround themselves, they protect each other, they work with each other. They make sure that if other homeless people are coming through town, that they know what the rules are. That they don't scavenger, they don't go out and bother people. These homeless people get up every day and they go down to the docks and they work. They look at construction jobs and they work. I look at this and I think, these folks have talent. They have a talent of being able to make it where other people might not. They're able to look and say, I live here. Matter of fact, I had one at lunch. Paige and I bought lunch for a couple not too long ago. And as I was chatting with the young man, I said, why are you homeless? He goes, I chose to be. He was a Vietnam vet. He talks and spends Christmas with his kids. They're very successful college graduates. He just decided to go off the grid. And I thought as I was reading this chapter, I thought, how many people every day go through life and they really don't know what their talents are? They haven't discovered their talents. They haven't identified what specifically will make them work as a better human being. Marcus writes this. How can you discover your own talents? First, if you want to reveal your talents, monitor your spontaneous, top-of-the-mind reaction to the situations you encounter. He goes on and says, these top-of-the-mind reactions provide the best trace of your talents. They reveal the location of strong mental connections. And then he shares this story, and I found this intriguing. I was sitting at the harbor today as I was pondering this, trying to live in my own mind, how would I have reacted to a similar situation? He says, Kathy P., a senior manager for a software company, gave us a dramatic example of how she discovered some of her talents. She was bound for her company's annual sales meeting in the Dominican Republic. Squeezing into her tiny seat, she glanced around to see who was sharing this pedal jumper. Now, pedal jumper is a small plane, if you didn't know what that was. Spread out in the back row was Brad, the aggressive, opinionated, and impatient CEO. In front of him was Amy, a genius at the details of software design, the best the company had. Across from her was Martin, a charming Brit who, through his network of contacts, had single-handedly turned around this flagging European operation. And then there was Gary, the spit head of marketing, who was usually had an angle to get his way into the seat next to Brad. The problems began right after takeoff, Kathy recalled. We had just cleared the clouds when the alarm went off. I didn't even know planes had alarms, but suddenly it was braying like a donkey, eeyaw, eeyaw, filling the cabin with this terrible sound. The main lights went out and the emergency lights started to flash red. As I felt the plane drop what seemed like 1,000 feet in just a second or two, I looked through the open cabin door and saw both pilots' necks, flushed and stiff, turned to each other. I sensed immediately that neither of them had any idea what was going on. There was a moment of silence in the cabin, shock, I imagined, and then suddenly, everyone began talking. Amy craned over and said, "Kathy, can you see the dials? Can you see the dials?" Martin pulled out a tiny bottle of Smirnoff from his bag and jokingly cried out, "At least give me one last drink." Gary started rocking back and forth, moaning, "We're going to die, we're going to die." Brad was immediately at the cockpit door. Still don't know how he squeezed out of those back seats, but there he was, screaming at the top of his lungs, "What the hell do you think you guys are doing?" "Me?" says Kathy. "What was I doing?" "Watching." "I suppose, as always, the funny thing was, nothing was wrong with the plane at all. A faulty system had triggered the alarm, and then the pilots had just panicked and pushed the plane into a sharp descent." Now, here's what Marcus writes. I think this is great. "Each of these reactions under extreme stress revealed dominant talents and to some extent helped explain each person's performance on the job. Kathy's keen observation of human nature undoubtedly contributed to her success as a manager." See, it's under undue stress that we seem to find out how we react. I, for one, know that when there's an extreme situation going on, I'm very calm. I believe that that was probably ingrained in me when I was a child because, as some of you know, my mom had a mental disorder. And I had to learn at an early age how to take care of not just her, but to understand how to react to her with different personality types that would be revealed when she went through extreme stress. I also watched as she went through situations like drug overdose and stuff like that and know how to deal with that. Some of you know the stories as a bounty hunter. I had to know people, so I was under undue stress. So I become very calm and very collected. When Paige has an extreme situation that she wants handled, I handle it. Each of us have our own talents. I ask you to do this. Think of a recent party or a recent event that you were at. How did you react? Did you hang out with people that you knew where you felt comfortable, which would reveal that you're more of an introvert? Or did you go out and purposely look for new people that you could become friends with, people that you could talk to, that extroverted personality? See, each of us have our talents that will be revealed depending on the situation that we're at. Here's a few things that Marcus says that we can use as indicators of what our talents are. Number one, yearnings. He says yearnings reveal the presence of a talent, particularly when they are felt early in life. At ages 10, the actor Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, already close friends, would find a quiet spot in the school cafeteria and hold meetings to discuss their latest acting projects. At 13, Picasso was already enrolled in an adult art school. At 5, the architect, Frank Gehry, had made intricate models of living room floors out of scrap wood. As I read those, I started thinking back when I was a kid. Instead of playing like most kids did and running around, what I wanted to do was take things apart. I wanted to analyze and look at how they were created. In high school, I went into electronics class. I wanted to become an electronic technician. I loved creating things. I can still do a lot of things with my hands. I would rather work with my hands. I make wooden pins, wooden toys on lathes. I love that kind of stuff. It's one of the reasons I took to the computer early, 16 years old, and started writing code, is because I love to be able to analyze and make things happen. Each of us have different things. Not all of my talent is analyzation. I also love people, so I love helping people. I would rather help others succeed than worry about my own success. All of us are different. Marcus writes this, "Needless to say, social or financial pressures sometimes drown out the yearnings and prevent you from acting on them. See, what you have to do is you have to listen to your yearnings. You have to write them down. You have to understand, okay, this is pulling me in this direction. It's very important. See, your yearnings may not prove to be inexorbitant as those of maybe a grandma, or not Grandma Moses, but a Mother Teresa. But they have a pull, a constant pull, as you start to realize where your talents lie, what you're good at. See, one of the things in direct selling is that you'll hear these hyperactive, over-aggressive, zealous distributors say, network marketing is for everyone. If you probably hate your job, so come here, you'll love it. And that's not the truth. See, there's not one career that fits everyone. There's not one profession that fits everyone. Not everyone can be a pastor. Not everyone can be a general. Doesn't matter what it is. The second thing that Marcus talks about here is rapid learning. See, rapid learning offers another trace of talents. Sometimes talents don't signal themselves just through the yearning. For a myriad of reasons, although the talent exists within you, you don't hear its call. Instead, comparatively late in life, something sparks the talent, and it is the speed at which you learn a new skill that provides the telling clue. I saw this happen in myself over the last few months. One of the things that we decided to do was launch some new services for companies in the analytical industry, or in the niche, I should say. And that was because all of a sudden I realized the same tracking capability that I used to bring in fugitives from justice can be used in tracking the ROI, the return on investment, for companies with their online marketing dollars. See, that was something that I had the yearning to be able to tinker with things, but it was later in life, through rapid learning, through studying some stuff, that I realized, wow, this really turns me on. I'm really good at this. I need to share this with others and help them strengthen their money, help them be able to make this happen. It was a beautiful thing. You're the same way. Something will spark the talent. I don't care how old you are. My mother is almost 70 years old. She's one of the best painters that I've ever seen. She has painted some gorgeous pictures. I called her the other day and said, I'm launching you a new company, and I just want you to know this. It's going to be called Laura's Creatives. We're going to start selling your pictures online. She's her ability, not just to paint, but to be able to match the painting with the right matting, with the right frame, is a unique, probably part of her OCD that she has. It's beautiful. The third thing that Marcus says helps you determine your talents is your satisfactions. He says satisfactions provide the last clue to talent. He said, as we described in previous chapters, your strongest connections are designed so that when you use them, you feel good. Now, that doesn't mean if it feels good, do it, or anything like that. It gives you the endorphin. You know that you've accomplished something. You have that, aha, this is awesome. See, if you tune your antenna towards identifying those positive activities that seem to bring you the most psychological strength and satisfaction, you found your talent. Marcus talks about the interviews. He says, when we interviewed the excellent performers in our study, what was most striking was the sheer range of activities or outcomes that made people happy. Initially, when we asked people what aspect of their work they enjoyed most, we heard a common refrain. Almost all of them liked their job when they met a challenge and then overcame it. Listen to that. If the common thread for people who enjoy their job, enjoy their career, is being able to see a challenge and overcome it, that means we as managers, we as leaders, we as CEOs must make sure that people have a challenge in their life that they can overcome. In network marketing, if you want to be able to keep people on your team, if you want people to grow as a person, if you're in direct sales and want to make a close, whatever the case is, then you have to be able to show people, identify for them the challenge and how to overcome it. this is beautiful when you put it to work. And it can change not just your life, but the lives of the people around you. This is great. But there's something else. Okay. Marcus says, however, when we probed a little deeper, the diversity, what they actually meant by challenge, started to emerge. Now, this is where it gets really tricky, because you that are listening to the radio show today, you must grow. You have to understand that this is a people development culture. If you're in sales of any kind, it's people development, whether it's a customer that you're talking to or whether it's somebody on your team that you're talking with. Watch this. Marcus says, some people derive satisfaction from seeing other people achieve the kind of insurmountable improvement that most of us miss. It's amazing. Some people love bringing order to chaos. Some people revealed in playing the host at a major event that they felt the best. Some people delighted in cleanliness, smiling to themselves as they vacuumed themselves out of a room. Some people were the ideal lover. Some people mistrusted ideas and instead thrilled to the analytical challenge of finding the truth. See, that's one of the things that I thrive on. When I see somebody just post something on a blog, and I look for facts, I look for details, I look for the track record and the patterns that they use to become to their deduction, and it's not there, it just pisses me off. Because it shows that they use no critical thinking process in order to become to the deduction that they had, and in most cases, they're wrong. It's not saying that I'm always right. What I'm saying is there's a process to come to a conclusion. That's just something with me. Here's the other thing. Some people needed to match their own standards. See, so many times we're with companies or we're with organizations or we're with people, and the standards are not what we have set, and all of a sudden we feel uncomfortable, and we have to find somewhere where those standards are met. See, that right there is interesting, because guys, listen to me for a second. If you're in a marriage, if you're in any kind of relationship, business, personal, doesn't matter, a church, if the people around you are not living up to the standards that you have set for yourself, you will not be happy. You will not be able to perform at your highest ability. You will not be satisfied to help others. I've seen this happen over and over just in my own life. But that's why a lot of times you'll see people jump from company to company to company to company. This is why you see people that don't understand human nature and have not taken the chance to learn it will make judgment calls on other people. Did you know that even some people in this got a kick out of rejection? Apparently because it offered them a chance to show how persuasive they could be. Con men are this way. I've known quite a few in my life because of my career choices. So how do we overcome this? What do we have to do? We on this call, you that are listening to the archives, you that are listening on iTunes, here's what you have to do. Now, this is just the way it works. You have to buy the book, Now Discover Your Strengths, because we're going to talk about the Strength Finder profile. And the only way that you're going to be able to get in there and see the profile is to be able to buy the book, look on the inside back cover at a special code that you go over to strengthfinders.com and you put it in and you use it. But the Strength Finder profile will help you as the individual be able to find your strengths. Now, I got Marcus's book, and it was a gift. I didn't have to buy it, but it's $30. I'm sure now it's on sale. You can find it. You can get it. Isn't $30 investment into your own life worth it? See, the best way to pinpoint your talents is to monitor your behavior and your feelings over an extended period of time, paying particular attention to the clues that we've talked about. See, this is why I journal. I can constantly go back and look at different things. I can show you in a point in my life, I'll use this as an example. I can show you a point in my life where I hated women, Part of it was because of my mom. Part of it was because of my early relationships with women. And I documented my feelings. As Paige and I started to build our relationship at a young age and then as adults. Although my feelings maybe deep inside haven't changed towards women, I sometimes wonder if I can trust them. What I have found is I have an undying loyalty to my wife. My trust for her is unquestionable. I do not believe she has a hidden agenda. See, we have to look at our behaviors. We study those. The StrengthFinder profile helps that. The StrengthFinder profile, according to Marcus, was designed to help us strengthen our perception. It presents us with a pair of statements, captures our choices, sorts them out, reflects back on what's our most dominant pattern of behavior, therefore highlighting where we have the greatest potential for real strength. When they created this, they found a few problems that were there. Number one, the problem is that when you react in real life, you're not presented with a set number of choices, 1 through 5, A through, you know, whatever. What happens is your brain quickly filters these choices, guides you to your strongest synaptic connection. It selects, boom, and then you react. It's where that neural processing, all those electrons start flowing through the brain into the nervous system, and then bam. So they had to implement that, and that's why they asked 2 million people open-ended questions. The second problem that they had was they couldn't make the choices too obvious. If we design a pair of statements where one of the two were blatantly right and the other was wrong, the choices would be skewed and would no longer accurately predict the presence or absence of particular talent. Here's what they did to solve that problem. We decided that most statement pairs would not be opposites. For example, when we ask millions of people, when you're talking to someone, how do you know if you're doing a good job of listening? We found two distinct patterns of responses. People with analytical talents answered like this: I know that I'm doing a good job of listening if I can understand and repeat back what the other person is saying. By contrast, people with talent for empathy gave a different answer. I know I'm doing a good job of listening if the other person keeps talking. This is why you got to buy the book. You've got to go in and take the profile. It's because this will literally change. You will start to understand who you are. Folks, if you're not succeeding in life, I don't care if it's in your marriage, if it's in your job, if it's in your relationships with your kids, I don't care what aspect of your life, if you're not succeeding, if you're not happy with yourself, if you don't love yourself, if you're not becoming a better person on a daily basis, then it's because you have not understood who and what you are. That's why this is so good. This is why it's going to help. You need this. It's great. You need to go buy the book. Tomorrow, the 34 themes of StrengthFinder: the achiever, the activator, adaptability, analytical, arranger, belief, command. The list goes on and on. It's going to be fun as we go through this. You don't want to miss the call. But I want to take the last few minutes to do a shout-out. See, there's a young lady that has entered into my life by the name of Melissa Williams. She happens to be the fiance of my personal mentor, Tom Hopp. I have not had the chance yet to meet Melissa personally, but Jim and I have interviewed her on the radio show. I've talked to her privately. I've talked to her in emails and in person, not in person, but on the phone. And this is a wonderful woman. This is a woman whose own upbringing, her own passions, everything behind her, everything about her, is what this book is about. See, she has gone the extra mile, not only to understand who she is, but she's gone the extra mile to be able to empower women, to take them to new heights, to help them. And the reason this was so good for me, as I started studying Melissa and reading what she writes and seeing the strengths that she has, first and foremost, truly, because she's a woman, and I'm trying to overcome my own limiting beliefs on women that I just shared a minute ago. I want to make sure that I understand I can love women without worrying about some hidden agenda. She's helped me in that. Today's her birthday. And I swear the young lady's not a year over 23. She's beautiful from the inside out. She's a lady that has captured Tom Hopp's heart. You know, it's one thing to capture a man's eyes or capture his mind. But when you capture a man's heart, the sky's the limit. And that's how Melissa is. If you guys have a chance, you need to go to Melissa's website, yourdreamingplace.com, especially if you're a lady, because she is such a dynamic individual that I think women of all ages, all shapes, all sizes, all outcomes, all backgrounds, all that good stuff, will find something very unique about Melissa. She believes what she does. It's not just about training. It's not just about selling a book. It's not about facilitating a leadership call or anything like that. This is truly about loving people. It's about wanting to help people make a difference. And that's why she is so important to me. This is why she's so special to me. This is why today, Miss Melissa, if you listen to this show, I want to say happy birthday, young lady. You are a blessing in my life, and you're a blessing in other people's lives. Folks, listen, live life like it's an epic adventure. Take some time today to reflect on who you are, what you want to do, what your talents are. It's time to discover your talents. And the reason it is because we're going to start the next series by Marcus also called Go Put Your Talents to Work, the 6 Powerful Steps to Achieve Outstanding Performance. These go hand in hand. And if you haven't done the StrengthFinder profile, you will not know what your strengths are. Folks, have a fantastic day. We will talk to you tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind.